Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As I alluded to earlier, this will probably be the shortest message you'll ever hear me preach. So I'm thankful that you don't need me to preach long, because when you're in God's presence, if I'm preaching words, who cares, man? Forget you, Doug. I was just with Jesus, and I pray that we will continue, because we're going to get into His Word. And the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus is here in the reading of His Word as well. And I just wanted to say very briefly as I start, over the last few weeks I've been praying a lot about today's service. And usually there's one primary theme that God stirs in my heart, and I kind of go in the direction of that one theme. But for those of you that are regulars here, you know that last week of December of 2017, I really sought the Lord and like, God, what is the vision for 2018? And I know that He spoke into my spirit. It's prayer and it's worship and evangelism would follow. And today I just felt like worship and evangelism, it was kind of a two-themed or a two-tiered message, and I believe the Lord wants to weave those two things together. And I read a passage, actually Joshua and I were spending time in my office, and I read this verse while he was sitting in the office, and it just jumped out at me. I want to read 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. It says, "Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of His wondrous works, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, semicolon, tell of all His wondrous works." The Hebrew word sing in verse 9 is shur, S-H-U-R. And it means a minstrel, a traveler, or a carrier. And more specifically, it means a carrier of oil. Tim, we were having prayer earlier this morning, and he was talking about being carriers of oil. He had no idea that this was the message. And so I want you to think about this. As a singer, as a minstrel, as someone who worships the Lord, what we are also doing is we are carrying oil that I believe comes out of that time with the Holy Spirit. Last week, what was the one-word title of the message? Overflowing. God wants us to be carriers of His oil that will then overflow. Look at 1 Chronicles 16, verse 9 again. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, semicolon, tell of all of His wondrous works. As we are singing to God, as we are worshiping to God, I believe that what God laid on my heart is witnessing is a natural outflow of worshiping. And what we have done in the church is we've turned witnessing into this obligatory, we better do this because we're commanded. I really, truly, as I studied this past week and started praying, I believe what God was laying on my heart is, no, witnessing is this opportunity that we have to overflow into the lives of others. It's not this thing that God's saying, oh, you have to, you better. Remember what I talked about a few months ago? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Voice inflection really determines how we interpret that verse. What we do, you know, if we've had experiences with fathers in the past, very, very often fathers will put this expectation on their sons and on their daughters. And if you love me or if you are going to obey me, you better do this. I don't believe what that verse is saying is that at all. If you love me, you will. You just will. It is this outflow. If you love me, you're going to get to this point where I just can't wait to flow out on the lives of others where they begin to realize, wait a minute, I want what that guy has. I want what that woman has. I want what they have because they have joy that I don't understand. Witnessing is a natural outflow of worshiping. Some people sing simply because they love music, but a true knowledge of God's saving grace should produce in every Christ follower the oil of gladness that overflows so naturally that witnessing becomes the unavoidable evidence of our love for Christ. I believe the church largely misses that. Man, the joy, I've been tore up back there. I don't know if you know that term. That's an Eastern Shore of Maryland term. I was tore up back there. That's a good thing. I'm like, man, just to feel God's presence and the worship. I know He's pleased with that. To be a carrier of the oil of the Holy Spirit should not only serve as evidence of a person's relationship with Christ, but as sons and daughters of God, there should also be a sense of belonging that causes something to manifest in and through our lives that compels others to say, I gotta have the presence of God in my life. And I believe we're falling far short of God's best for us if we stick our toe into that experience on a Sunday morning, and then we go about on Sunday afternoon and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, our regular lives, and nothing changes. There's no real impact. There's no shift in how we think, how we feel, how we believe, how we pray, how we hunger and search after God and His presence. God is the ultimate Father. And the ultimate fathers want to spend time with their kids. Man, He loves us so much. He wants to be with us. In Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start reading in verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And that word sons means, big picture, children of God. It's not just sons, it's sons and daughters. For you do not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. I was listening, I can't remember what song it was, but we were talking about adoption in that one line in that song. I'm like, God is so cool. I love it when He just weaves stuff together. I didn't know that that line was even in there. I didn't know they were going to be singing that today. It's that cool confirmation of talking to Tim, and he's talking about being a carrier of oil. What's the oil in Scripture representative of? Holy Spirit. God wants us to carry His Spirit into a dark, lonely, hurting world. And if we don't do it, who's going to? The church today, it bothers me because we're so hungry for a crowd that we've decided we want to be as much like the world as we possibly can be, so then maybe they'll think about coming. That is so backwards. Jesus is saying, I want you to be like me, so the church will come out from among the world and say, I want to be like Jesus. I don't want Jesus to try and be like me so I'll feel better about myself. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And you guys have probably heard before, what does that word Abba mean? Daddy and what else? Papa, right? Two different words that we see in the Greek. That's what Abba, Father. But listen to this further definition in the Strong's Concordance. Here's what it means. A term of tender endearment by a beloved child in a dependent relationship with his or her father. Oh, man. God wants us to come into that place where we are utterly, absolutely, 100% dependent on Him. How many dads here love it when your kids come to you and say, Dad, I just need you in my life? Man, you've heard me say so many times, it would be crushing if my kids came to me and said, Dad, I don't love you. And as a dad, it would even be more crushing for me to hear my kids say, Dad, I don't trust you. I can't even... That tears me up just thinking about hearing my kids say that to me. I want them to have a dependence on me. I want them to need me as a dad. I want to be there for them. A term of tender endearment by a beloved child in a dependent relationship with his or her father. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children... then heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. He's saying, when things get difficult, are you willing to stay with me? When things get hard, when life becomes excruciating, are you willing to stay close to me and not strike out on your own? The prodigal struck out on his own. He wanted his own life. But one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. And while he was yet a great way off, the Father saw him. When that prodigal realized that he had really messed up, he decided, I got to go back. I got to go back to be with my dad. The Father was looking. The Father cared. He was waiting. Many years ago, many of you know, Robbie and I used to be foster parents, and we fostered high-risk children that various crimes and issues that they did, that they weren't just in need of a home. They were in need of a home because their parents had put them out. And we had one young man, his name was Tommy. And man, that kid was full of life. And he had been with us for a while, and he came up to me one day, and many of you know that our oldest son, Dylan, we adopted him when he was 8 years old. And so Dylan was the only child we had in the home at that time with Tommy. And Tommy came up to me one day, and he called me Dad, and called Robbie Mom. And he came up to me, and he said, "Dad, would you spank me?" And I laughed. I said, "No, I'm not going to spank you, Tommy. Why would you ask me that?" And tears. Welled up in his eyes. He said, "Dad, my real father used to hit me." He said, "He doesn't love me." He said, "But I've watched you spank Dylan. And I've watched you pray with him after you spank him. And I know you love him. And I want to be loved like that." I believe that we have an orphan spirit that has been allowed to come into the church. And we don't really truly know God as our Father. Because the enemy has convinced us we really don't belong. We'll never be good enough. We'll never measure up. As I preached at Jerry's memorial service on Wednesday, it's the grace of God. He said, "I don't expect you because you're not capable of doing anything to deserve my love. Just come on." I want Robbie to come forward if she would. She's going to sing one more song. And it's a song that talks about the fact that there are people all around us that feel like orphans. Come on up, babe. I feel like orphans. But God is saying, No. My arms are open and I'm ready for whosoever will may come. My dad used to say, "My name is DJ Wooten." Come on up. My oldest brother's name was DJ Wooten. My third oldest brother's name was DJ Wooten. My second oldest brother's name was DJ Wooten. My name is DJ Wooten. My two sons are DJ Wooten. All of my nephews are DJ Wooten. And my dad used to say, "I would rather see whosoever will may come, because DJ Wooten might not mean me. But whosoever will may come." And he's saying, "I want to be your dad, and I want you to be my sons and daughters, and I want you to hear this song this morning. And if you have felt like an orphan, I want you to understand there are no orphans of God.